Good morning, and welcome to another episode of Crime Over Coffee. We're your hosts. I'm Erica.
And I'm Abby, and today I'm going to be telling you about the case of Judy Malinowski.
Today, I am drinking a hot coffee that I made here. It is, gingerbread. A gingerbread one. I was like, I don't remember. And it's very good. I have been freezing all day. But the good news is tonight, shortly after Abby and I record this, I am going to be leaving and going to Florida. And I am very excited for the warmth. And so I'm imagining that I'm drinking my coffee on the balcony looking out at the ocean at the moment. But that's not the case. I'm just looking at wavelengths of my audio instead of the ocean waves.
Yeah, I'm currently looking outside. It looks really nice because it's sunny, but I'm pretty sure it's like 40 degrees out. Actually, I think it's 50. I'm ready for summer. I want the warmth. Yesterday it was snowing here, and I was like, no, thank you. I am drinking an orange sparkling Celsius, which is very yummy. I also have a coffee that is... probably, let me taste it. That's cold now. Still tastes good though, but it was a it was one I bought when I was in Kentucky around New Year's from a local place. It's like a holiday pecan something cinnamon. I have no idea.
Ow. Why are the holiday flavors
clawing me?
Why are the holiday flavors so good everywhere?
Listen.
Holiday flavors just taste so much better.
Yep. Cinnamon, pecan, anything like that, I'm down. You've got me. And they're just fantastic.
Yeah, I'm a big fan.
So yeah, I've got that too. I might sip on it, but like I said, it's pretty cold now. And that's not my favorite thing to put in my mouth, like a lukewarm coffee. At this point, I think if I went and put ice in it, that would be pretty yummy. But anyway, that's why I grabbed the Celsius, because I was too lazy to warm up my coffee, and this I just had to open. But alas, I've got options, and they're both caffeinated options, and that's the most important part.
Okay. I think we're maybe going to get into the episode now.
Oh, wait. Also, just so you know, because I know you're all curious, I am not going to Florida tonight.
Okay. She's not, because she sucks. I invited her and everything, and she told me she hated me and didn't want to go.
And then I punched her in the face.
Twice.
I was, however, in Florida not this past weekend, but the weekend before I was in Key West.
I don't remember asking.
And I pet cats at Ernest Hemingway's house.
Ah, my favorite person. What did he do again?
He was a writer. Oh, actually, if you know who Robert the Doll is, the place I stayed was just around the corner from where the house was that took place. And then the museum where he's held was just across from the airport that I landed in. So that was cool. Okay, I'm gonna stop talking now so Erica can finish the intro and then we'll get into the episode.
Oh boy. I hope you guys are still with us. Maybe you've gotten stronger drinks throughout this intro from what you initially started with.
I hope they paused and went and got like a shot of tequila, hopefully.
Don't blame you. Let's get into this. Pour yourselves a cup, a glass, a jug, whatever you're drinking.
pour a jug.
And let's dive into this episode.
Before I get into this, I do want to give a little warning that this does deal with domestic violence. And so obviously, if that's something that's going to upset you or trigger you, I just want to give you a heads up. This case that I'm going to tell you about is one that I found on a documentary. It's called The Fire That Took Her. And so a lot of my information I'm recalling from that documentary. And then, of course, I've pulled other resources from the internet that I'm going to be reading about. But the documentary is really great. I think it is originally an MTV documentary, actually. I watched it on Paramount Plus, I think. Don't quote me on that, but I believe that's what it was on. But it's surrounding Judy Malinowski, who was 31 years old in 2015. And at the time, she was dating Michael Slager. I believe he was around the same age. Her and Michael had had kind of an on and off relationship at this point. They actually lived just outside of Columbus in one of the like suburban cities. I believe it was either Gahanna or New Albany. I'm not sure which one. She was a mom of two, and she was also really close with her mom. And like I said, their relationship was off and on. It was known that Michael was honestly just kind of a dick. I don't feel bad saying that, and you guys will all know why. But he wasn't a good dude. And that takes us to the day of this attack that happened to her.
Was Michael the father of either of her two children?
No, he was not the father of them. He was just somebody that came into her life a little bit later on. And I'm not really sure if their father was involved in their life at all. I know that she was close with them and in theory was like a pretty good mom. In the past, she had struggled with some drug addictions that she had from battling some illnesses in the past. She had survived cancer at one point. I think it was breast cancer. From some of those illnesses, she had developed an addiction to opioids, and she was a recovering addict at this time. And from what it was reported, Michael took advantage of that. He would basically manipulate her and get her drugs, got her re-addicted, essentially, so that he could manipulate the situation. Like I said, he was a dick.
I was going to say, I'm still all for calling him dick.
On August 2nd, 2015, multiple witnesses called into the police station because they had witnessed that this woman had been set on fire. And police are rushing to the scene trying to figure out what had happened. And witnesses are saying they saw a man set this woman on fire.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. It was a pretty intense and chaotic scene. And the policemen, at this time when they get there, she was put out, I guess. The man had went and grabbed a fire extinguisher and started to put her out. And police are also helping. They're getting the ambulance there. They're trying to get her to the hospital. But it was a pretty rough sight. They didn't think she was probably going to make it. At this point, she had had 95% of her body covered in burns.
Wow. Was this in public or was this at their home that this happened?
So this was in public. It actually happened outside of a Speedway gas station. Yeah, and it was in the middle of the day. So that was another thing that was so crazy. The investigators were talking about how insane it was that this just really happened out in the open.
That's not where I was expecting this to go. Abby did preface the story by telling me she had an insane one for today, but I was not quite expecting this, I guess. I find it incredibly strange that it happened in public, but I'm assuming you'll give us more details.
Yeah, this case is really crazy. And at this point, you know, of course, Judy is obviously not doing well. She's at the hospital. Like I said, over 95% of her body is covered in burns. They have Michael in custody, and they're just kind of canvassing the area, talking to witnesses, and looking to see if anything's caught on tape. As investigators are talking with Michael, what he's claiming is that they had pulled over outside of the Speedway gas station, and he does say him and Judy were fighting. And he claims that Judy was mad and dumped a pop or a soda on him and ruined his clothes. And so in retaliation. So in retaliation, he dumped gasoline on her, but they made up and she had a cigarette and he went to light it, and him lighting it just ignited her because she had gasoline on her clothes. And then he went to get a fire extinguisher and put her out.
So was he in the process of trying to put the fire out when firemen showed up with that fire extinguisher that he went to find?
I'll be honest, I don't know the sequence of events post that. I couldn't find how quick it all happened. My guess is that it happened very quickly, and just because of the location of where it was, I think police and ambulance got there really fast. So I think it all happened within a matter of minutes.
Okay. I just didn't have faith in him in the fact that he was actually going to get a fire extinguisher to try to put the fire out.
Well, what I do know about him and the fire extinguisher is this. Like I said, multiple witnesses called in when this happened. And what they told police is they literally watched him douse her in gasoline, set her on fire. And then what they told investigators is that they believe their presence there is what prompted him to go get it to put her out, because he could tell that they were watching this happen and he was trying to cover his ass.
But there wasn't a cigarette that accidentally got dropped on her.
Yeah, from what they're saying, investigators and witnesses are like, this is crap, don't listen to him.
Oh, I believe that that's a crap story. I'm just clarifying.
Yeah. Well, further, right across the street was a bank and an ATM. And ATMs typically have cameras. And so this was all caught on camera. And so from the footage, you can see the truck pull up and park. You can see her get out and like walk over to the grassy area where she was. And you could see him literally come out with the gasoline, dump it on her, and immediately like throw the lighter on the ground to set her on fire. And then a like minute later, he goes and gets the extinguisher to put her out.
That's horrific. I can't imagine watching it, but two, like the fear that she was probably having in that moment is okay.
Obviously we cover a lot of true crime and we've read a lot of stories. When I tell you, watching this documentary, I was literally like crying the whole time. I don't usually get teared up a ton, and that's just because I've seen so many stories, but this one was rough. I just felt for Judy and her family so much, because I don't know what kind of person can do something like that. That's insane.
It has to be a person that, one, needs therapy and help, but two, just can completely remove himself from the situation and not even consider what he's doing. Also probably has a lot of anger issues. It's just not a good combination of things all mixed up into one person.
Yeah. Horrible human. But what he doesn't realize is that it's caught on tape. And so they have video of the detective going into the room where Michael is and asking him what happened. And, you know, Michael's claiming this story, and the detective's like, there's no way you diffused your, like, fight within 2 seconds to you being leaning down to light the cigarette. Like, that's not how it happens. And so they pretty quickly place him under arrest. They're like, no way. No. So let's pivot just a little bit. And let's talk about where we're going to go with Michael and this attack, and then how Judy is doing. Basically, because of the extent of Judy's burns, and in the documentary, they talk about this like equation they use to kind of determine if somebody's going to die or their percentage of dying or surviving when they've been affected by burns. And it has to do with their age and the percentage of their body that is burnt. Basically, it was like over 100% chance that she was going to die based on this equation. They were sure Judy was going to die within hours.
I'm still holding out hope that you tell me she ended up surviving, because she's a breast cancer survivor, as you mentioned, and that's badass. And so if I'm still holding out hope.
I can tell you that she's a strong ass woman. Right after this happened and she went into the hospital, she actually survived for a little bit. She ended up going into a coma for 7 months and did end up surviving for about 2 years after the attack occurred. She underwent 60 surgeries, was barely able to speak or breathe, but she was able to, again, survive for a couple years and see her family again. But the big part of this story is her role in helping convict Michael. And we'll be back right after this ad. When Michael went on trial first, it was for aggravated arson, possession of criminal tools, and assault. Obviously, like I said, Judy had survived, so he wasn't being charged with murder at this point. What was unfortunate is Judy had wanted to testify, but because of how certain things work in the political field, and, you know, everything's a little different depending on where the jurisdiction is, Michael had agreed to a plea deal and had his lawyers actually entered a Alford plea. And so basically he didn't admit guilt, but acknowledged that there was enough evidence for a jury to convict him. And so with this, Judy didn't get to testify because there was no contest. And so he was sentenced to 11 years for aggravated arson of this. And the reason that this was really messed up, I mean, there's a lot of reasons, but another one was, it was just another thing of him, like, silencing Judy. Another method of this domestic abuse, really.
And people take plea deals all the time, right? But this is a time where he's taking this plea deal as a for himself, which, like you were saying, I mean, he's silencing Judy, but two, he's just a selfish dick and he doesn't care. Like, for Judy, I'm sure it would have been, maybe she didn't want to testify, but for her to be able to share her story and to get true justice would have been so much better than him taking this plea deal and kind of getting away with it. Also, I think it's kind of insane that he only got 11 years.
1,000%. And watching her react to this was heartbreaking. You know, you could tell how much it was affecting her. And something too, I'm pretty sure I forgot to mention this earlier, so I'll just throw it in here. This was not, no surprise, this was not his first offense. He had a laundry list of criminal offenses, a lot of which had to do with domestic violence. I mean, like, I, no surprise, but this guy is not a good guy. This is not a first-time offense. Considering the severity of the crime at this point, I agree with what Erica said. 11 years is not anything. But, yeah, more importantly overall, it's just disgusting that Judy didn't even get to tell her story or her side of things. At this point, this takes us to January 2017. Like I said, Judy ended up undergoing 60 surgeries. And once we get to 2017, 2 years after her attack, doctors are anticipating that she's not going to be able to live much longer. what they're able to do, and this is something very historic, is that they, oh, well, let me back up. So part of this 11-year sentence that we're talking about being short has to do with just what the standard was for how many years can be given for aggravated assaults at this point. And something that's kind of cool that did come out of this is that there was a new law that got passed in Ohio, and I know they were trying to take it nationally. I don't know if it went there, but Ohio passed it. It's called Judy's Law, and it increases the amount of years that can be added to sentences where an accelerant was used, where the victim is permanently disfigured or disabled in an attack like this, and it adds 6 years to the minimum sentence that it was. So I'm not sure if that's 6 years to that 11-year sentence or not, but either way, because of Judy and her family, this is a higher sentencing. So that's really awesome. But we're not done. As I said, Judy is a strong-ass woman, and she does something absolutely spectacular. In January of 2017, it's determined by doctors that Judy is likely not going to live much longer. And because all this is happening, investigators and lawyers that have been working on the case are pretty sure they're going to be able to now try Michael for murder. Yeah, they're now going to be able to try Michael for murder. And something very historic that's not happened before is they think they're going to maybe be able to get a testimony from Judy for her own murder trial.
That would be... one, I don't think that happens very often, obviously. But I feel like that would be a really great testimony to have, I guess. It's kind of a sad testimony, but also would be very beneficial in persuading the jury one way or the other.
Yeah. I mean, what... such an insane thing to think about, but it's also like, yeah, why shouldn't she be able to have that? Absolutely. But something that's kind of sad but crazy about it is for it, they wanted and needed her basically to be very lucid and aware of what's going on, because obviously she's under a lot of pain medication for all of this, for all of her injuries. And so they had to lower the dosage down before she could give her testimony. So she was in just so much pain prior to this, but she did it so she could testify. And again, strong ass woman. She is so inspiring. So she testifies against Michael Slager, and she says they did have an argument, in that he was yelling at her, saying, quote, "See what I'll do to you, bitch. How do you like this?" End quote. And then he started dumping gasoline all over her, and then backed away for about 30 seconds while she was asking him to please stop. And then he went to his truck and got a lighter and then just set her on fire. And she remembers seeing him and just seeing his eyes turn black is what she remembers. And him just ignoring her screams. She says, quote, "I don't think words can describe what it feels like to have your whole body set on fire. I can remember fire on my face and eyes. I can remember screaming for help in that it felt like 1,000 hot needles," end quote. Another thing she said, a lot of her family wanted the death penalty, but she was against it. So she asked for the judge to consider just life in prison. One other thing I noticed in the documentary, because it was a testimony where Michael's defense got to question her too. And you could tell so much that he didn't want to do it. And they even interviewed him after he's like, that's something nobody wants to do. I didn't want to do it. And you could see, like, you know, how much he didn't want to be doing it. And you could tell it wasn't at the same level that somebody normally would in this situation. You know what I mean? But again, I think the craziest thing about this is just the idea, or the fact, I guess, that Judy was able to testify at her own murder trial. In 2018, Michael Slager ended up pleading guilty to murder, and he was sentenced to life without parole. He didn't go to trial because if he was convicted by a jury, he could have still faced the death penalty, even though Judy asked to take that off the table. Judy, unfortunately, ended up passing away in June of 2019. As I mentioned, as a result of this case, Judy's law came through, adding time to aggravated assaults when it uses an accelerant that disfigures or disables the person that is assaulted. Additionally, Judy's family established a nonprofit called Judy's Foundation that is campaigning to change laws relating to domestic violence at a federal level. So overall, I just wanted to share this story. It's an awfully sad one, but it shows the strength of women and their families to overcome this domestic violence. Obviously, this didn't end up as in the way we would have liked for it to completely, but I said but honestly, it still makes me sad. I'm just trying to find the positives at the end of this.
It is incredibly sad. I think that, you know, the positive is that Judy was such a badass woman and a fighter, and she hung on for herself and for her kids and for justice to be served. And so that's incredible. But like you said, this case is just, it is a heavy one, and one that hopefully brings more light to domestic violence situations and continues to bring education to those around to see just how bad it can get and how we can try to support individuals in these relationships.
Just a reminder, if you guys want to watch that documentary, it's called The Fire That Took Her. I looked it up. It's available on Paramount Plus and Prime Video. As always, thank you all for listening. And if you have any case recommendations, just let us know. Thanks. Thanks to listening to this week's episode of Crime Over Coffee. You can find us on Instagram at Crime Over Coffee or on Facebook at Crime Over Coffee Podcast, where all of our photo and video content for each episode can be found. You can also email us your thoughts and case suggestions at crimeovercoffeepod@outlook.com. All of our sources can be found in the show notes for each episode. If you would like, you can support us by going to anchor.fm/crimeovercoffee. You can also support us by recommending us to friends and family, giving us a good review on Apple Podcasts, or subscribing to us on your favorite podcast listening platform. Thanks again, and we'll see you next time.